بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم إن قد خرجنا من حولنا وقوتنا إلى حولك وقوتك فأعوذ بك أن أقول زورا أو أغشى فجورا أو أكون بك مغرورا ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Inshallah, before we start the lesson, I want to tell you all the schedule for the remaining lessons. Next week is scheduled to be Ashura, so people will be fasting. So there'll be no lesson after Maghrib on the 29th of July. And then we have two lessons left, 5th of August and the 12th of August. The 12th of August will be the last lesson in this series, in this beautiful journey of exploring the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But of course, the journey to know Allah does not end. So it is, inshallah, for many of us, just the beginning of our journey with Allah. And inshallah, hopefully after that, we will start another series. So we will not leave you guys cold. Barakallahu feekum. Today we are taking two names of Allah that only appeared in the Quran one time. It's Allah's names in Surah Al-Hashr, Al-Mu'min, Al-Muhaymin. Al-Mu'min, Al-Muhaymin. They came one after the other in Surah Al-Hashr, and it only came once in the Quran, in describing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look at the first name, Al-Mu'min, does this sound familiar to any of you? Have you heard this word before, Mu'min? Yeah? Mm-hmm. When you're describing a believer, believers tend to be called Mu'min. So how can the same name that's given to a Muslim, a believer, a Mu'min, how can that name be a name of Allah? Many people have this question. And the second name is Al-Muhaymin. The word Mu'min in the Arabic language comes from the root letters Amina Ya'manu, which refers to safety, to be safe, to find safety and security. The word Muhaymin, the grammarians differed and they had a disagreement. Where does the word Muhaymin come from? One group said it also comes from safety, Amina. It's Al-Mu'aymin. But the Hamza got swapped for a Ha and it became Al-Muhaymin. But it has a similar meaning to the first name, Al-Mu'min. Another group of scholars, they said, no, actually, it comes from the word Haymana Yuhayminu. Ishtiqaq al-Ruba'i, as they say in Sarf, which is to protect and to safeguard and to surround something such that it's protected. I mentioned to all of you that inshallah, in the last lesson, I'm going to tell you all my research method. What do I do when I want to research one of the names of Allah? But I will give some hints on the way, some things to consider. One of the very important resources, when you are trying to understand the meanings of one of the names of Allah is one of the greatest tafsir of all time, which is the tafsir of Ibn Jarir al-Tabari. Tafsir al-Tabari. It's not translated, as far as I know. I think one volume has been translated in English. The special thing about tafsir al-Tabari is that he summarizes for you all the opinions from the first few generations of scholars of Islam, the first 2 to 3 generations of Islam. What did they say about this ayah or this word? And everything he says, he gives you an isnad. He gives you a chain of narration up to the Prophet ﷺ himself, or up to the companions of the Prophet, or up to the students of the companions of the Prophet. And he summarizes for you. And there are some people that mistakenly think, such people I am 100% sure have not read Tafsir al-Tabari. They think Imam al-Tabari is just a historian. He just tells tales and history. Imam al-Tabari is the highest grade of mujtahid, of scholar when it comes to tafsir. After narrating what did the earliest Muslims say, what did the companion say, he gives you his opinion. He gives you what is his view on this ayah. And he uses the Arabic language and the poetry of the Arabs and all the Islamic sciences to give you his opinion. So if you want a snapshot, what did the earliest Muslims understand Mu'min al-Muhaymin to mean? You go to Tafsir al-Tabari. He gives you the snapshot. What did the earliest Muslims mean? And he gives you the chain of narration. You know, look at the level of honesty and academic trustworthiness. Everything he says, he gives you a chain straight to the person who said it. There's something very important to look at when you are researching the names of Allah, especially as they come in the Quran. What did Al-Tabari say about Allah's name Al-Mu'min, Al-Muhaymin? He says Al-Mu'min has two possible meanings. The first, Al-Mu'ammin, the one who gives safety, who gives security, who makes you feel safe. That's the first meaning. And the second meaning, he said, is Al-Musaddiq, from Iman, meaning to believe in something, to confirm something to be true. He says Al-Mu'min is someone, when he promises you something, he makes it happen. Al-Musaddiq. Inna wa'ada Allahi haq, the promise of Allah is true. If Allah says something is going to happen, he is going to be mu'min. He is going to be true to his word that he promised you. The vast majority of scholars considered al-mu'min to mean the first thing, which is the one who gives safety and security. Al-muhaymin. Haymana yuhaymini, to surround something such that you are protecting it, you are giving it full security. For example, if you go to an important place, let's say the Buckingham Palace, you will see it is surrounded by what? By security guards all around. Right? They don't leave a single corner, a single entrance, except somebody's there. Their eyes everywhere you see. This is al-haymana, to surround something from every direction. This is what al-haymana. When Allah talks about the Quran, in the Quran, he calls it wa muhaiminan alayh. This Quran is going to surround and overtake every other religion on this earth. لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ. It is going to supersede every other religion on this earth. It is the final testament. Nothing can surpass it. So this is the meaning, some meanings of Al-Muhaymin. Let us go back to Al-Mu'min. Allah is the giver of safety and the giver of security. In today's world, one of the most important drivers, motivators for people is fear. And the opposite of fear is feeling safe. If you are scared of something, you're not feeling safe. And if you are safe, you're not feeling scared. This is really important to understand. Human beings are fundamentally driven by fear, by khawf. They say, the psychologists say, there's two ways to motivate a human being. Anybody, a child or an adult. The first is the stick. The second is the carrot. The carrot is a reward, meaning it's a reward. You know, you tell a child, you know, if you do this, you get halawa, you get a chocolate. That motivates them. The other way, you say, look, if you don't do this, you'll get the stick. Of course, I'm not encouraging violence of any kind. Only gentle disciplining. So that's what the psychologists say. They said the stick or the carrot. That's not me. So if you have a problem with the stick, you just talk to the psychologist, not to me. This is a fundamental thing. Human beings are motivated by fear. They do things in fear they would never do otherwise. And similarly, they are motivated by a reward. If you show somebody you'll get this reward, they are more motivated to do it than anything else. And this is why Ibn Juzay al-Kilbi, rahmatullah alayhi, in the beginning of his tafsir, he said the whole Quran is summarized in these two lines. It gives you incentives for reward, and it gives you things to be scared of. And that forces you to worship, motivates you to worship Allah. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, he was called Bashiran wa Nadhira. He gives you good news, rewards, and he also gives you warnings and things to be worried and scared about. In today's world, $249 billion is spent on a certain type of safety and security. Who can tell me? All of this money, everybody in this room is spending money on this. Almost everybody in this room is spending money on this. Something that gives you, seems to give you safety and security. $248 billion. Yes. Insurance. Who can tell me what's insurance in Arabic? Ta'min, from the same words. Al-amn, mu'min, al-mu'ammin, right? Where did this idea of insurance start from? This idea that for anything negative that happens in life, whether it's a divorce or unemployment or a crash or an accident, I need some kind of protection, some kind of security. This idea is not thousands of years old, it's recent, 100 years, 200 years. And if you want to drive a car in this country, you are legally obligated to insure your car. You cannot drive without it. What is the premise? What is the basis of insurance? It is this idea that life is uncertain, anything can happen. And I need some safety to protect me from the bad things that happen. And I have to be financially protected from these things. This is where the idea of insurance comes from. $250 billion spent on this. It's spent, where does it come from? Human beings feeling insecure. We feel unsafe. We feel scared. So how do we protect ourselves? Insurance. One of the famous books in American literature, Death of a Salesman, it's about this salesman, this man who used to sell electronics. And he has a failed life. He didn't make any money. He has a bad relationship with his wife. His wife is in a relationship with another man. He has no closeness to his children. So he thinks to himself, the only way now for me to save myself and my family, I should drive into a wall and kill myself. The life insurance will go to my kids. They will become rich. This happens very often. Billions of dollars a year are spent in the UK every single year because there are people who will drive their cars into a lake and claim insurance on it. The whole industry is being abused. This is a very fundamental human need, which is why when Ibrahim alayhi salam lands in Mecca and he builds the Kaaba and he leaves his family there and he's about to depart, one of the first things he asks Allah, who can tell me? Allahumma ij'al hadha al-balada aminan. Make this, Allah, a safe place. Safety is very important. One of the first things Ibrahim asks Allah, oh Allah, I've left my family here, please keep them safe. Who is his insurance policy? Allah. If something goes wrong, what backup does he have? He has no backup plan. He has no deposit. He has no money going to come from anywhere. His backup plan is the protection of Allah. And this is why you see the quwwatu tawakkul, the idea of tawakkul, of pure trust in Allah, it comes from people. It comes from the heart of somebody who has no backup plan. Who has watched this show, Bear Grylls? Who knows Bear Grylls? Tell me, what's Bear Grylls? He's a survival expert. He's a man. He goes into the hottest desert in the world, the most dangerous jungle in the world, crocodiles, lions, and by himself, he tries to survive. He has no insurance plan. Well, they don't tell you this, but there's helicopters and cameras. If something goes wrong, he's going to be taken care of. But anyway, let's say the whole idea of the show, he has no insurance plan. They say, you know, a tight rope. Imagine there's a rope between two buildings. And a man is trying to walk on this rope. They say, if you put a safety net underneath, he is more likely to fall. Because he knows he has a backup, so he's going to fall. But if you leave him there, walking by himself with no protection, he is going to try really hard to stay balanced because he has no backup plan. When you live life without having these backups, without having life insurance, medical insurance, all of these, without these backups, when you live life, your tawakkul, your trust in Allah is far greater because you know He is your protection. But when you don't have a creator, you have no attachment to Allah, you need all of these protections to keep you safe because you are always sitting in fear. This is what happened. When the people of Europe decided, God, we don't need God anymore, they started buying insurance. Health insurance, life insurance, medical insurance, this, that, building insurance, liability, public safety, liability. Then types of insurance never end. Because when you stop believing Allah is your greatest insurance policy, then you have to pay a lot of money to protect yourself. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the giver of safety, then how does He give safety? What is the safety that Allah gives us? Yes. Safety from the hellfire in the afterlife. Does Allah give us safety in this dunya as well? In this world as well?
Yeah.
How does Allah give us safety in this world? Like?
Allah willed that we
Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His decree, He can protect us from something that could destroy us, such as a nuclear bomb, huh? Yes. Okay, good. Allah makes some, this is very good. So Allah makes some things haram for us to protect us, to give us safety. Yes. Did you have your hand up? You want to say the same thing? How else does Allah protect us? Anybody knows? يُؤَمِّنُكَ مِنْ مَاذَا جميل. If one worships Allah as He deserves and knows Him as He is, then it's a protective shield from poverty and from difficulty and from affliction. What else? Okay, Allah protects us from shayateen. How? From His might. Yes? Okay. Yes. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects us from negative qualities by telling us to avoid certain things that harm us, such as mixing with the wrong type of people. Yes. Allah tests different groups of people with each other. And that He checks them with each other. Okay, that keeps them in check. Very good. Anything else? Okay, yes, last one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you for not going into it. Yes. Yes.
Like, it can make you
go on. Yeah, it can make you crazy. Yeah, absolutely right. You're absolutely right. What's your name?
Umar.
Huh? Umar. MashaAllah, Umar. Very good. So may Allah protect you and make you from the scholars. Say, Ameen. Ameen. Good. All of you, I'm going to summarize what everybody says. Allah gives us three layers of protection. Okay? The last layer of protection is called Akhirah insurance. What's it called? Akhirah insurance. Or you can call it Jahannam insurance if you want. The second layer of protection, I call it Jama'ah insurance. What's it called? Jama'ah insurance. And the last layer is called Sharia insurance. What's it called? Now who's going to give me the three layers of insurance? The last one is? Huh? First, Akhirah insurance. That means Allah protects us from the danger of Jahannam, of the hellfire. The second, Jama'ah insurance. Jama'ah, the community. And the last is the, what is it? Sharia insurance. I'm going to go to these one by one so you understand. When Allah says He's Al-Mu'min, He gives safety, there is no human system or individual that can give safety like Allah. Let us start with the innermost circle, the Sharia. Any human civilization or group of people needs rules to interact with each other. One of the greatest ways Allah protects us and gives us safety is by revealing the divine law. The law that comes from the Almighty Creator, the Most Wise, Allah Himself, which is called the Sharia. This Sharia is one of the greatest sources of safety for an individual and for a community. It protects us from so many dangers. It protects us from endangering our minds by intoxication, by alcohol, by drugs. It protects us from ourselves, from our temptations. It protects us from everything that destroys humanity, from murder and jealousy and competition and anger and infighting. It protects families by creating systems such as marriage and such as divorce. You know, divorce can be a protection as well. Because it's not, marriage is not for somebody to suffer and live a life of adab, of punishment. So if that is the type of marriage you are living, Allah created a way for protection, protect your rights by divorce. This whole Sharia, this whole legal system is created to protect us from ourselves and to protect us from each other and to protect us from falling into a situation where we hurt and harm. Every type of harm, the Sharia came to stop that harm. Ibn Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi said in his book, I'lamul Muwaqqi'een, الشريعه مصلحه كلها. The sharia, the whole purpose of this divine law is human welfare, the betterment of human beings, to protect human beings from the danger of ourselves and from each other. Yes, Habibi, Umar. You got a story, tell me the story.
Basically,
yeah, tell me basically.
My dad told me about a story.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, there was someone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he was drunk.
He was drunk?
Yeah.
Mm. Go on.
And then he
there's a rule, you have to tell me the story without laughing.
Yeah.
Deal. Bismillah. Oh, you laughed? Umar, you have to tell me the story without laughing. Go on. Somebody was drunk, then what happened?
And then after that,
uh-huh.
He climbed into the bin.
Worst things have happened. Oh, there's more. Allah. But Umar, you're laughing. Umar, you need to.
Uh-huh. The bin.
I think Umar has been drinking too much lemon juice before he came to the lesson. Umar. The bin truck came and took him.
Yeah.
And then, finish. Finish. Allahu Akbar. MashaAllah, Umar. Umar, see, this is what happens. Umar, you're saying if you drink alcohol, you will be dead. This is what you're saying. MashaAllah, Umar. This is why Umar should be teaching the class, not me. You should know the real teachers. Umar, but if you keep laughing, you cannot tell me another story. That's good. So, the Sharia is the first layer of protection. These rules, these laws, many see them as oppressive, restrictive. But actually, it liberates you. It frees you from oppression, from wrongdoing, from tyranny, from being enslaved to your own desires. It frees you to live a life where you are in the worship of Allah, where you are in the safety of your Creator. This is the first safety, the first security that Allah gave us. The second security is the jama'ah, the community. I'll give you an example. When do people use insurance? When something wrong happens, right? You get in a car accident, then you think about insurance, right? Somebody dies, then they think about life insurance. You get ill, then you think about health insurance. So people think about insurance when something goes wrong. Today, somebody loses their job. Today, they're let go from work. They come to the masjid. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. You look at his face. You can see something's wrong. Brother, assalamu alaikum, what happened? Mali araka. Why do I see this face? Usually such a radiant, smiling face. What's wrong? SubhanAllah, today I was let go from work. Really, what do you do? Oh, SubhanAllah, I work in customer service. Akhi, don't worry. That brother there, he runs a call center. Brother, come here. Can you help this brother with a job? You know, brother, that brother there, he knows how to make a good CV. Come. Akhi, come here. Can you help him with his CV? You're still struggling? There's one brother, he runs a business. Akhi, brother, mashallah, this brother is a millionaire. Habibi, can you lend him £500 to get through this month? This is called social insurance. When something goes wrong, we help each other. We don't live for ourselves. We help each other. The jama'ah. مَنْ يَسَّرَ عَنْ مُؤْمِنٍ كُرْبَةً مِّنْ كُرَبِ الدُّنْيَا يَسَّرَ اللَّهُ لَهُ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. As the Prophet ﷺ promises, if you made someone's life easy in this world, Allah will make your life easy on the Day of Judgment. Oh, ya Allah. The Prophet ﷺ said, for me to help somebody by lifting their luggage onto their camel and walking with them and helping them, supporting them, is better for me than 1 month staying in the masjid. I would like to be in the service of my brothers. I would like to break my back for my brothers. I would like to support my brothers. Al-mu'minu lil-mu'mini kal-bunyan. We are one building. This is the idea of social insurance. If one pillar in the building is falling, the whole building will collapse. So we have to hold each other up. This is the idea of social insurance. Silatul rahim, family ties. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you to give charity, who is the first person who is deserving of your charity? Parents, and then relatives and family first. Family first. This is the whole idea. If you're going to give charity, don't give to somebody in another country. First give to somebody who's closest to you, your family members. Support each other. Silatul arham. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, "Laysa al-mu'minu," you are not a believer, if you sleep and your neighbor is hungry. You're not a believer. This is why Ibn Hazm al-Zahiri, rahmatullah alayhi, he was a scholar who used to follow, he had a very literal way of interpreting the Quran and the Sunnah. In the Zahiri madhab, in his school of thought, it is haram, prohibited, for you to sleep before checking 40 houses to your right and 40 houses to your left if they all have food for the night. Because a neighbor, in fiqh, in the classical school, they say a neighbor doesn't just mean the person next door. It's 40 houses to your right and 40 to your left. So he took the hadith literally. You can't sleep, literally, you're not allowed to sleep until everybody has food to sleep. Social welfare, supporting each other. In such a community where everybody is trying to support the next person, giving sadaqah, charity, helping, time, lifting luggage, will anybody be struggling financially, physically? They will not be, because everybody is supporting each other. What happens today, at least in European society, you have the country. What's the greatest killer in this country? Does anybody know? What is the greatest killer in this country? Not cigarettes, loneliness. Correct. Loneliness is the greatest killer in Europe. They are a lonely society. Why? Because they don't have jama'ah insurance, social insurance. They don't support each other. One of the incidents that happened that really broke my heart. About 2 months ago, I was standing in a pharmacy in a line. And on the side, there's a bunch of chairs. An old lady, she must have been above 80 years old, sitting on a chair. All of a sudden, she started shaking and she fell on the floor. As she was about to fall, two people jumped to catch her. Me and another Muslim man. We jumped to catch her so she doesn't break any bones, fall and hurt herself. There was 12 people in the line. Not a single one of them blinked an eye. The other brother who was with me, he had some experience, so he was counting how long does the seizure last. He called the pharmacist from the back. Somebody has fallen down. Pharmacist came. Pharmacist said, everybody, please leave the pharmacy. We have to look after this lady and check she's okay. She's alive. She's breathing. You could hear a groan. Oh, come on. Everybody waiting the line. We have to leave, find another pharmacy. Oh my God. Nobody cared. The lady, this old lady, is dying, struggling to breathe, shaking, falling. Nobody cared. They only cared about, oh, I need a paracetamol. Seriously, paracetamol, help. Ahmadillah, ya khalas. They all left the shop. We're sitting there. This lady's name is Margaret. Margaret wakes up. She said, what happened? Did I have a seizure? Yes, you had a seizure. Does it happen often? We start asking her questions. Okay. Can we call somebody to look after you, Margaret? Because you cannot walk home like this. You're not stable. You cannot walk home. Do you have family? Yes, I have family, but they don't talk to me. I have children, but they don't speak to me. I have grandchildren. I don't know them. They don't know me. Who is the closest person to you, Margaret? Anybody? I have one friend, but she might be too busy for me. She called her friend in front of me. She called her friend, hello. She said, hi, I'm at work. I just had a seizure. Are you all right? Yeah, I'm good. Okay, bye. This is why there's so much pressure on the state. You need help from the state. The state has to pay for a carer. The state has to pay for welfare. The state has to pay for benefits. This, because there is absolutely no social support to the extent that there's an 85-year-old woman who has nobody in the whole dunya to help her, and she's falling on the floor of a pharmacy, and you are looking and thinking, Wallahi al-Azim, in any other society in the world, in Africa, in India, even a Christian Hindu society, people have this much humanity. If somebody falls, they'll pick her up, they'll take her home, they'll feed her, they'll look after her. But look at the result of kufr, look at the result of atheism. It leads to a society that is so dead inside, they can't even look after each other. They can't even look after mother and father. This is really the death of society. That's why never be deluded, never be deceived by the advancement of Western civilization. لَا يَغُرَّنَّكَ تَقَلُّبُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي الْبِلَادِ Allah says, oh, cannons, technologies, nuclear, this. Don't be fooled. They have destroyed themselves. Just because they have a smartphone doesn't mean anything, because nobody in society will help each other. And my experiences with old people like this is so many, so many. You just find somebody, a pensioner, old retired person, just ask them, how often do your kids see you? Once in 3 years. I don't drive, I can barely walk, but nobody in the world cares a damn about me. This is the second insurance Allah created. When the Prophet ﷺ moved to Medina, what's the first thing he did? Akha bayn al-muhajirina wal-ansar. He created pairs and brotherhood between the migrants and the settlers. Why? They need that support. Without that support, the whole society will break. To the extent there were men saying, I will divorce, I have multiple wives, I will divorce half of them, you can remarry them. This is how much giving. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. Allah says in the Quran, people who prefer others over themselves, even if they have a need. They know somebody else has more of a need, so I prefer to look after this person than to look after myself. Allah created a community, a selfless community. A community that gives before it takes. The Prophet ﷺ says, الْيَدُ الْعُلْيَا خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْيَدِ السُفْلَى. The giving hand is better than the hand that receives. Give, give, give. All that you have is the things you have given. This is the human that Allah creates. Free slaves, look after people, feed the poor, feed the living. Don't eat alone, eat together. Somebody is sick, go and help them. Somebody is struggling, go and help them. Somebody can't sleep, go and look after them. من أحب الأعمال إلى الله, one of the most beloved deeds to Allah, سرور تدخله على مسلم, is to make somebody smile. Don't even leave somebody sad. Go and crack a joke and make them laugh. This is the social insurance Allah created. And then the last, but the most important, the insurance from the everlasting punishment in the afterlife. What I recited in the beginning of this lesson is a conversation between Ibrahim alayhi salam and his people. Ibrahim alayhi salam's people begin to threaten him. They say to him, you should be scared, my friend. Because if you don't worship our idols, you are going to be in trouble. You don't have any safety. You don't have any security. You are a fugitive. You are wanted. We're going to finish you. And this is the same thing they told the Prophet ﷺ. They told him, إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ. People have gathered, a whole army is there against you, so you need to be scared. فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا. That only increased their trust in Allah, the one who gives safety. وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ. Allah is enough for me to keep me safe. وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. And I leave everything to Him. I don't need your army and I don't care about your insurance. Ibrahim alayhi salam says to his people, when they threaten him, they say, you should be scared of our idols. كَيْفَ أَخَافُ. Habibi, how can I be scared of this piece of rock? كَيْفَ أَخَافُ مَا أَشْرَكْتُمْ. This thing has no power. How can I be scared of this? وَلَا تَخَافُونَ أَنَّكُمْ أَشْرَكْتُمْ بِاللَّهِ. Shouldn't you be scared that you worshipped something and you made them equal to Allah? فَأَيُّ الْفَرِيقَيْنِ أَحَقُّ بِالْأَمْنِ. Who should be more safe, me or you? You may have the army, and you may have the power, and you may have everything, but you should be scared, not me. I am safe. Because what insurance do I have? The insurance of Allah. أَيُّ الْفَرِيقَيْنِ أَحَقُّ بِالْأَمْنِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Then Allah says, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. The people who had true iman, true certainty in Allah. You know He is the protector. He is the giver of safety. He is the taker of safety. وَلَمْ يَلْبَسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ. They didn't mix their iman with worshipping anything other than Allah. أُولَٰئِكَ. Those are the people. لَهُمُ الْأَمْنِ. They have true security and safety. وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. And they are the ones who are rightly guided. In the afterlife, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects the believers from the fire of Jahannam. To the extent, He does not even allow them to talk to the people of the hellfire. وَنَادَى أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ أَنْ أَفِيضُوا عَلَيْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ. The people of the fire will call out to the people of paradise, just sprinkle some water on us. But it will be responded to them, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ حَرَّمَهُمَا. Allah has prohibited that water to reach you. The people of paradise are so protected from evil and from distress and from sadness that they don't even hear the voices and the cries of people in hellfire. Allah says about them that they will have لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. They will have no fear, nor will they feel sadness. This is only in the Akhirah. In this world, those are the people that felt fear and they felt sadness and they went through tests and tribulation, but they stood firm because they knew they had three insurance policies protecting them. If I fall, my brother will look after me. If my brother's not there, my mother. My mother's not there, Allah is there. And this is what gave them courage, and this is what gave them reliance upon Allah. Today, many people, they commit all sorts of illegal fraud and haram because they think this will give them financial security. I was driving, there was a taxi driver the other day. He said to me, brother, look, in this country, if you don't do something haram, you cannot live a life. You have to claim benefits. You have to falsely show your taxes. You have to do cash. You have to pretend. You have to break, you know, a few laws here and there, you know, double books. You have to do this. Otherwise, you can't survive. You have to secure yourself. Pretend you're poor, get a council house, this, this. All of these ways that you are doing, that we are doing, to get some financial security, we are putting so much trust in the security of the state, and we are forgetting who is the provider of safety, al-mu'minu al-muhaymin, the one who keeps you safe, the one who keeps you secure. Nothing in this world can keep you safe if the safety of Allah does not come. I just want to end with the last, before 4 minutes till Isha Salah. Afwan. So we'll keep going. Maybe you will regret saying this now. We're going to continue till Fajr, inshallah. No. Very important consideration to take. Knowing that Allah is Al-Mu'min, Al-Muhaymin, the provider of safety and security, does this mean we should not do anything to protect ourselves? We should just trust Allah and just relax? Does that mean we should just relax and Allah will protect us? No?
You don't just leave the camel on its own.
Allah, Ya Ammar. You don't just leave the camel, you have to tie it. Today in Europe, if you look around Europe, there is a creeping level of Islamophobia and a threat, a legal, governmental threat towards Muslims. From countries banning the hijab, banning the niqab, banning the salah in the masjid, taking away more and more rights of Muslims to express their religion. This is creeping in all the European countries around us, the rise of the far right, those who hate Islam and who hate Muslims, and who want the rights of Muslims to be taken away from them. What do we do about this? How do we get ready to protect ourselves? Who can tell me who was the greatest protector of the Prophet ﷺ in Mecca? Who gave him protection, legal protection, arms, protection from all the tribes? Who was his protector? His uncle Abu Talib. Was Abu Talib a Muslim? But Abu Talib provided him very important protection from the other tribes. When Abu Talib passed away, what did the Prophet ﷺ do? Where did he go to find some other protection? He went to Ta'if. He went to Ta'if to try and make an agreement with the leaders of Ta'if to protect him. What does that mean? He is making agreements, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with non-Muslims to protect his rights. When the Muslims could not practice their faith in Mecca, where did they go? Ethiopia, Habasha. Who was the king of Habasha? What religion did he follow? He's a Christian. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not afraid to protect his rights, his religious rights, by seeking the help of non-Muslims who are powerful. When Muslims come to this country, especially as we, those who immigrate from other countries, the first profession they push to their children, my child has to be a doctor. If not doctor, engineer. If not engineer, pharmacist. Okay. All of you now, you have to listen to me very carefully. The next century is not like the one that passed. The one that passed, we were, as they say on the road, they say, we were chilling. The one that is to come is going to be less chilling than the one that has come. It is going to be chilling in another sense. You'll be fear, chilling, chilled in fear, trembling like you're inside the fridge. There are threats to Muslims. there are those that want to take the rights of us to practice our religion. Whether that's in schools, whether that's outside of schools, whether it's the right to pray salah. The threat is there, and it may come to us at any point in time. If Muslims want to protect ourselves, we have to encourage our children and our grandchildren to go into the legal profession, to go into the profession of public policy, so that they can influence the laws of the land, so that they can protect our rights. Today, if one of you gets in trouble, if somebody at work, if your employer is not letting you pray salah, you're not allowed to pray salah, you work in a warehouse, Amazon warehouse, you're doing stuff in the warehouse, I need 2 minutes to pray salah. No, you can't pray salah. Who's going to help you take your rights back? You need a Muslim lawyer. The funny thing is, they may be non-Muslim lawyers who may do a better job, because all of our kids are doctors. We have to be strategic. Knowing that Allah is Al-Mu'min, the giver of safety, doesn't mean we relax. Yeah, He's going to keep me safe. I'll sit with my feet up. No, that means we have to work hard. The Prophet ﷺ is seeking safety and protection from a non-Muslim uncle, from a non-Muslim king, from a non-Muslim tribe. Any way possible to protect the rights of the believers. And we have to be smart like this and follow the sunnah of our Prophet ﷺ. Our definition of following the sunnah is Allahu Akbar. Now I have to kick the guy next to me to make sure his toe and my toe is. This is our definition of following the sunnah. As-sunnah tu a'zam. There is more. Yes, foot to foot in salah is a sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ to keep the rows in tight. But Islam is greater and bigger, and there are more rulings than this. And we have to be smart. وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا يُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصَّةً. Be careful and be wary and be ready for threats that will not just come and attack the believers, but will attack all of us. And we are underprepared. We Muslims, we only wake up when something goes wrong, we react. Oh, the school showed this to our kids, we're all going to protest on the road. But 15 years ago, when this was going into legislation, into law of the land, where were we? Where were the Muslim lawyers and the Muslim public policy experts to fight this? Now we're going to wake up and fight. It's too late. It's law. We have to wake up. Al-Mu'min does not mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to just protect us from everything and we just relax. We have to be smart, smarter than this. Very important point. Sometimes the name of Allah, Al-Mu'min Al-Muhaymin, the one who gives us safety, who surrounds from all angles, it can make somebody feel too safe. So safe that you begin to relax and you think, I don't need to worship Allah, I don't need to do anything, Allah is protecting me. Al-amnu min makrillah. There's something Allah warns us about in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَأَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ أَنْ يَخْسِفَ بِكُمُ الْأَرْضِ أن يخسف بكم الأرض فإذا هي تمور أم أمنتم من في السماء أن يرسل عليكم حاصبا فستعلمون كيف نذير. Never feel safe from the punishment of Allah. Sometimes in our religiosity we think, خلاص يعني صلاة زكاة, I've done everything, finished, I can relax now. Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Muhammad rahimahullah, as they call him Imam al-Sunnah, when he was on his deathbed and he was about to pass away, his students surrounded him and they were telling him La ilaha illallah, they want him to say La ilaha illallah before he dies. And suddenly they see Imam Ahmad saying no. They start to get worried. What is this? Imam Ahmad, the Imam of Ahlul Sunnah, the Imam of the Sunnah and Hadith, he's saying no to La ilaha illallah. They keep saying La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. What is going on? We don't know what's going on. Suddenly, he stops. He says, was I saying something just now? They said, yes, you were saying no to La ilaha illallah. He says, no, what happened? Well, Shaitan came to me, biting his fingers, and he said, oh, Ahmad, you got saved from me. You succeeded. And he wanted me to say, yes, I'm safe. So I said, no, I'm not safe. Until Allah takes my soul, I'm never safe from you, my friend. You are there at any point. You are ready to take me. Shaitan wanted him to start admiring himself. Oh, I'm great, Imam. I'm so safe. I'm so pious and righteous. So he will get him in the last second. In the last minute before he dies, he'll get him with this grave sin, which is to admire your deeds and to think you are the one who did them. We are never safe from the threat of the shaitan and from the punishment of Allah. Umar ibn Khattab, the man whom the Prophet ﷺ described, and he says, لَوْ كَانَ نَبِيًّا بَعْدِي لَكَانَ عُمَرْ. If there was a Prophet after me, it would have been not Mirza Ghulam Ahmed, Umar. Yeah? This man, who the Prophet ﷺ said, he could have, he has the potential to be a Prophet. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet ﷺ the names of the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, Umar ibn Khattab comes running to Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman. He says, don't tell me who's on the list of hypocrites, just tell me one thing. Is my name on the list? Is my name on the list of hypocrites, ya Hudhayfa? Umar ibn Khattab is scared. Maybe I am a hypocrite. How can we feel safe about our deeds? Allah says in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ. The sign of a believer is when they do good deeds, they are scared it may never be accepted from. Just because Allah is the giver of safety, never feel safe that you are destined for paradise, that you are safe. Never feel safe that you are doing everything perfect and you are safe. Always be ready. Always be alert. Always be scared from your deeds, from the shaitan. From anything can change at any moment and we can end up on the wrong path. لا تأمنوا مكر الله. Never feel safe from the tests of Allah. Because it can come to any of us at any time. And the things we felt safe in, all of our good deeds, it can go in 1 second. Never feel safe. How many people live their whole life as a believer, as a righteous person, and in the last moment of their life, they disbelieved in Allah? Don't feel safe. Till the moment Allah takes your soul, be alert, be ready, be scared for your iman. Don't feel safe. So I told you feel safe because Allah is al-mu'min. And now I'm telling you don't feel safe. Feel safe in your dunya because Allah is your protector. But never feel safe in your deen because any time the test of Allah can come. And we ask Allah, O Allah, لا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا. Don't make this dunya our greatest concern. O Allah, test us in our dunya, but don't test us in our deen. O Allah, trial us in this dunya, but don't trial us in our deen. Antal mu'min wa antal muhaymin. O Allah, protect us from all the threats, from all the legal, political threats, from all the people who wish harm to the believers. You are the protector, you are the sustainer, you know all and you see all. We have no insurance except the insurance that you provided for us. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.